Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet coming at you here on a Tuesday. We got the music back. We got everybody ready to roll. Lost Chicago there for a second, but those are the jams as we come back here and celebrate this 340 segment here coming at you guys on a Tuesday afternoon. Femi Abebefe once again here on You Better You Bet. 20 minutes from now, though, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Colts benching Anthony Richardson and going with Daniel Jones as their week one starter. We all thought Anthony Richardson had the inside track. I mean, there was reporting about Anthony Richardson stacking great days on top of great days. Look at this scrimmage. Like, everything's all good. And this is what we've come to, where it's going to be Daniel Jones. Clearly, the Colts brass does not trust Richardson and feels like he needs to sit and watch a little bit. Will he learn? Only time will tell. But based on what I've seen so far, going back to college, like, doesn't look like this guy is that good. Otherwise, I think he would have been playing at Florida much, much sooner rather than playing behind Emory Jones, a.k.a. QB3 of the Atlanta Falcons. We will get to WNBA MVP here shortly. Also going to get some best bets from Jake and Tyler. But I wanted to pass along a couple of notes from the NFL. The continuous daily update of Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford. Sean McVay at the podium this afternoon saying that Matthew Stafford had another good day at practice. So we're... signs are looking good. We're pointing positive here for Matthew Stafford. Said he looked better than yesterday, moved around a little bit in the pocket. So a good day for Matthew Stafford. Just day two for Matthew Stafford here at Rams training camp, but a good day nonetheless. I still have my concerns, especially once we start hitting. Like, that's the issue. Is like, hey, you can look good in training camp practice with the red jersey on and nobody can hit you. They can't even touch you. But week one, here comes Will Anderson Jr. Here comes Danielle Hunter. Here comes this ferocious, aggressive Texans defense led by D'Amico Ryans. No red jersey on that day. So I'd be a little bit concerned about how Stafford holds up, but at least a positive sign for Matthew Stafford and the Rams as he has practiced for a second consecutive day. And according to the head coach, Sean McVay, looked better than the day before. Another news item, this one from Big Blue, the New York Giants, and it's positive. Wide receiver Malik Nabers, he is back at practice after missing 11 days due to a back injury. It kind of went a little bit hush-hush over the last week and a half or so, but Nabers is back out there, which is a great sign for the New York Giants. He's their wide receiver one. Big expectations for Malik Nabers in year two. And even on a more positive note, their left tackle, Andrew Thomas, has been removed from the PUP list. So Andrew Thomas, now back at practice, one of the best left tackles in the NFL. And like, that's what's so interesting about the New York Giants. They are really good in three of the harder positions to fill. So wide receiver, we all believe in Malik Nabers. He's a stud. Left tackle, believe in Andrew Thomas. He's a stud. Edge rusher, you got Brian Burns, and you might have Lawrence Taylor 2.0 and Abdul Carter. Like, he apparently is a stud, and watching the training camp stuff, the preseason stuff, like, he looks like he's going to be that dude for the Giants. Like, those are really hard and really valuable positions to fill. The problem is the most valuable position, quarterback. Apparently, they're infatuated with Russell Wilson being the week one starter, and if that's the case, I'm out. But if you go to Jackson Dart, and let's say Jackson Dart's really good, you're already good at wide receiver, you're good at left tackle, you're good at pass rusher. If Dart's good, this team could actually be good in 2025, which I would never have thought heading into this offseason. But like, they're good at the most important spots, the hardest ones to fill. So let's see what the Giants end up doing. I still think that they should go with Jackson Dart. They insist that Russell Wilson's their starter. We'll see how long that lasts with the schedule that they have to begin the regular season. But let's go ahead and get into the WNBA because this is something that has been heating up over the last couple of weeks. For those who have been watching the show throughout the WNBA season and just been kind of following along as sports fans, you would have known that Minnesota Lynx forward Nafisa Collier has been the story of the WNBA season. Like, the Lynx have been by far the best team, 28-5, a gaudy record, clearly the best record in the league. Collier has been the best player in the league. Gaudy statistics. Her efficiency numbers are really strong. Her traditional numbers are really strong. And she, prior to 2 weeks ago, was a runaway favorite to win the league's Most Valuable Player Award. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, Collier suffers a right ankle injury. And ever since then, we have a race. Because Collier right now at BetMGM, minus 325, You have Mercury forward Alyssa Thomas at plus 450. And then the reigning MVP, Asia Wilson of the Las Vegas Aces at 6-1. Now, I'll say this off the top. If the season ended today, Collier would win in a landslide. Like, if they had to vote right now on August 19th, Collier wins going away. It's not even close. However, the season doesn't end until September 11th. So it doesn't end today. So right now, it's still pretty fluid. And the big question with this betting market, and the big question, I think, amongst people who cover the league, because over the last couple of days, if you're on WNBA Twitter, like, it's starting to get talked about a lot based on how one of the challengers is playing. But the big question is, how many games can Collier miss and still be the league's MVP? So far, she's only missed four games. She hasn't played since August 2nd. They've kind of had like a spread out schedule. They've only played four games, which is crazy, since August 2nd, because they're about to play four games this week alone. I don't know how they get the schedules all working out together in the WNBA, but she's missed four games. Tonight, she is listed as doubtful as the Lynx take on the New York Liberty in the rematch of the WNBA finals from a year ago. So she's about to miss her fifth game tonight. However, I will say this, the fact that she's listed as doubtful and she's been doubtful over the last couple of games, it's a little bit of a step in the right direction, because prior to these last couple games, it was like just out, ruled out, not even with the team. Now she's on the bench, she's in street clothes, she's doing their like famous electric slide that they do at the end of every win and all that stuff. Like, looks to be moving around pretty fine. Like, you know, like, doesn't look like the ankle's kind of holding her back in that regard. So it looks like she's making progress towards getting back onto the court. Now, once again, Minnesota is slated to play four games between now and Sunday. If Collier misses all of those games, she would be on pace to miss about 20% of the season if she comes back next week. Usually you don't win the MVP if you miss about 20% of the season. Like, I know, like, the NBA, sometimes you can do it or whatever with load managing and all that stuff, but the WNBA season is only 44 regular season games. Like, you miss 20%. Like, that's a decent amount of games there. Like, you can see how this would quickly get up to, wow, I don't know if she played enough games to be the league MVP. My thing is that I think if she comes back around this time next week, this whole thing is moot. She's just going to win. But let's say she misses more time than expected. Let's say the Lynx win three of these next four games. And let's say that, okay, if they do that, will they start looking at maybe resting Nafisa Collier? Maybe thinking of a WNBA championship as opposed to a WNBA MVP award. Like, if they want to rest her and say, hey, we'll just bring her back, like, I don't know, a week before the end of the regular season so she can get her bearings back and get back to playing shape and then right off into the playoffs, I don't think anybody would bat an eye. So I think it's really critical for her to come back next week, because if she doesn't come back next week, Asia Wilson is coming. Like, the Asia Wilson, the league's reigning MVP, she now leads in player efficiency rating and is starting to close the gap in win shares. A couple weeks ago, we discussed this awards market when Collier initially went down and said, is there someone to bet? Like, I thought Sabrina Ionescu might be able to make a run at it. She's been terrible ever since. So no, she hasn't been able to make a run. But Asia Wilson has made a run and all of a sudden has pulled the Aces from mediocrity to now being one of the best teams in the league, to where they're starting to, she hasn't closed the gap on the team success portion between her and Collier, but between her and Alyssa Thomas, she definitely has. Now winning seven straight games. Like, I think Asia Wilson is a prime kind of winner if Collier continues to miss games into next week and beyond. Alyssa Thomas, on the other hand, to me, it feels rather uninspiring. And it's something that I've said throughout this season. Like, she trails both Collier and Asia Wilson in PER and in win shares, and she's way behind in points per game. Like, her case is just one of like this weird Jason Kidd like triple doubles case where she doesn't score a lot of points. You'll have triple doubles with like 14 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. Like, that's typically what doesn't win the award in previous seasons. Like, you need to be a top tier scorer, and she's not that. And I guess another part of her case would be that, like, the team that she used to be with, the Connecticut Sun, are terrible, and now she's with Phoenix Mercury, and Phoenix is one of the best teams in the league. So, like, her case is a little bit more strange. It's not as straightforward like an Asia Wilson and like the favorite in Nafisa Collier. So the big question right now, and I think a lot of people who have been kind of looking at that betting market are wondering and asking themselves, what do we do right now? I think right now you're still kind of holding steady and waiting for more concrete information on Collier. If she returns soon, like next week, like I've been saying, I think she just goes back to being the runaway winner. If she suffers a setback or if they rest her, I actually think that Asia Wilson has a realistic opportunity to become the first repeat winner since Cynthia Cooper did it in the league's first two seasons. Like, we've never had a repeat winner since Cynthia Cooper. Like, Cooper was the only player to do it, and that was in years one and two of the WNBA. Like, I think that if Collier is going to be out for, let's say, 2.5 more weeks or so, I think she might lose this award to the reigning MVP in Asia Wilson. So hold steady right now, but if Collier returns soon, I think it's all systems go. And Nafisa Collier, MVP, as they were calling her prior to the injury a couple of weeks ago. Let's go ahead and bring in our guy, Jake Hassan, our baseball aficionado, to go ahead and get a bet for him for today's slate in Major League Baseball. Jake, how are we doing today? We do have one game going on right now, by the way. It started before the show. Cubs and the Brewers, Chicago up 5-2. I know Tyler was sweating out the under in the first five there. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for our guy, but the Cubs looking to get one back on Milwaukee. What do you like tonight in Major League Baseball and why?
I will like the Brewers in game two of this doubleheader, fading Jameson Taillon with Brandon Woodruff on the mound for the Brewers, who's been awesome. I'll do that. And I'm going to run the White Sox back again, too. Really? We're going to make Bryce Elder a -165 favorite against anybody? I'm way good. Hard to say who's Braves. Really, it's hard to say. But I'll take the White Sox again after they smoked Atlanta last night. And last but not least, please, Christopher Sanchez.
It's a big one for you, buddy.
I don't ask for much. Christopher Sanchez, if there was ever a night for you to just shove and have a career start, please, I don't ask for much.
Big game tonight in Philadelphia. Mariners at the Phillies. Philly -200, Mariners +165. Bryce Miller making his first start since his 15-day IL stint. We'll see if Sanchez can get it done. The Phillies are probably going to win that because the Mariners are allergic to winning games on the East Coast, which is rather unfortunate after all the great work that they did back at home. But now they find themselves in this three-way tie with the Red Sox and the Yankees. We'll see if they can go out there and get to October. All right, that does it for the 3 o'clock hour on the other side. Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Colts nabbing Daniel Jones as QB1 to start the season.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.